Are these yours?
Did you lose something?
No. Would you be so kind as to tell me where I am?
Well, this is what is laughingly known as my apartment.
Did you bring me here by force?
No. Quite the contrary.
Have I been here all night alone?
If you don't count me, yes.
So I've spent the night here with you.
Oh, well, now, I don't know that I'd use those words exactly. But, from a certain angle, yes.
How do you do?
How do you do?
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is David.
And this is Douglas.
I just like this theme recently of just us not knowing what to really talk about once we've done with the "this is a who we are" part, where we're just kind of like, what are we doing here?
What? Listen, you don't know me.
Right. I was waiting on our fearless leader to lead us.
Out of?
I don't know. Out of radio silence.
I heard the silence and I said, you know what? Let's see how long this goes. Right.
If you like, me and Douglas can go back to never saying our names. That will clear up all the dead air.
Where I'll just have to shout at you each time, like, stop it!
As you fume over there and go, idiots! Speaking of fuming and idiots, we have a movie to review.
Yes, we do. So, I want to talk a little bit about this movie.
Really?
What I'd like to do is to tell you what this movie is about.
Can we start with the name?
Yes. So, according to the internet, the movie that we watched, which is Amarcord.
Okay. Is it an English movie?
No, it is an Italian
film. Ah.
Amarcord is a 1973 Italian comedy drama film. Directed by Federico Fellini.
Douglas's favorite filmmaker of all time.
Favorite filmmaker.
Mine too.
A semi-autobiographical tale about Tito, an adolescent boy growing up among an eccentric cast of characters in the village of Borgo San Giuliano.
You didn't say that right. You have to do the Borgo San Giuliano.
Well, that is definitely
in 1930s fascist Italy.
Ah.
Oh, I know fascism. It's what I do every time I'm playing Civ 6. At the end of it, I make my country fascist. I make my civilization fascist.
Yeah, that's
because I get more military cards that way.
Yes. Yeah,
from the maker of La Dolce Vita, 8½, and Satyricon, comes a new masterwork. The new Fellini. Amarcord.
Exactly. Tito's sentimental education is emblematic of Italy's lapse of conscience. The film won all sorts of awards. So, guys,
I don't think I saw.
I did not watch that movie
that you described. I think I might have gotten a bootleg version of the movie.
Clearly, that had to have happened. So, I have to say, it's hard for me to objectively say this movie is awful, but I feel like it kind of is. So I decided. I don't even remember what the search was, but I came across Fellini, and I said, you know what? I don't think I've actually watched any of his movies. So,
pick the one that everyone says is the best.
What, 9½?
8½.
8.5, sorry. I knew it was a number.
It's like you're going in between. You're going in between the real one and the shitty musical that they made a few years back.
Oh, maybe that's what got stuck in my head. But yeah, I didn't pick that because I knew you'd watched it. So I wanted to try and find something that we all could enjoy.
What do you think of 8.5, Damien?
Let's not do this.
No, just 5 seconds. Just curious. Year and 8.5.
That movie's bad.
Okay, cool. Because I want to watch it again, but I remember not liking it when I saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry. Did you not watch this movie?
Wait,
8.5 I'm talking about.
We're just doing a quick eight and a half
sidebar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which you weren't paying attention to. And now we can go back to Amarcord.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Amarcord, as I said, this is not what was promised. I was sold a falsified bill of goods.
Yeah.
I need to find the customs officer that certified this and just punch him in the face. This movie is...
Douglas, I'd like to welcome you to Italian neorealism. If you've never seen any of those movies, here you are.
Yes,
I've seen a few of them. Let me tell you the truth. I don't like many of... I don't like the ones I've seen.
It's okay to say you don't like any of them. The whole of them.
Yeah, this movie is all over the place, right?
That's generous.
And that's generous. There are so many little side quests that I don't even think there is a movie here. I don't think that this is... There is no...
thread.
Unifying thread, thank you. Or
no
story. Right? Don't even say that because then Andrew's going to fucking lord it over us that he's watched that movie and we won't be able to watch it before 2056.
So, since you mentioned
Andrew, you're not allowed
to
talk.
I actually have a couple
right?
of gifs that I want to put in the group, but I'm afraid you guys will complain when I put them in the group that they're from that movie.
Yes, we will.
One thing that I will say about this movie is that it's fucking beautiful, right?
Fair enough.
It's very pretty. I love... And to me, there were like different sections of this movie, and let me tell you why. It may actually be thematic, but I think it also just aligns with my television sleep cycle. or not even really sleep cycle, because for this movie, and we are going to talk about something else tonight, which will be on a separate podcast that suffers from a similar fate, but for this movie it was even worse. It wasn't really my sleep cycle. What it was I just could not sit down and watch this movie in one go. It was not possible. I remember after the first half hour, I stopped and I said, okay, I'll just have to come back to this a little bit later. And then I came back and watched another half hour the next day. And again, I had to stop and say, I can't do this. This is excruciating. Let's move on. So much so that I rented this on Google Play, which Andres told me I didn't have to do because I'm a moron. But the truth is, this movie befits that kind of a situation. Paying too many times for a movie I didn't have to pay for that I in no way enjoyed. So I had to split up this movie into so many different watches that it expired on me and I had to re-rent it a second time to finish. But I felt like each of those half-hour bits kind of had their own... Let's call it color palette, right? You had the beginning with the kind of... That one, I felt the beginning had the most cohesive color palette and somewhat, not quite monochromatic, but very similar colors together. Then you had there was a part... I can't remember which one goes where because in my mind it's just 4 separate viewings and I can't remember which is the beginning and which is the end, but there was a segment where they were just in mist and then that was pretty cool. Then there was a segment with just super snow and you know, I really loved the colors, the framing, just the beauty that was this film. Essentially, this movie was kind of like, even though it's a different kind of beautiful, but it was kind of like a Wes Anderson movie without the enjoyment, right? Without being actually good. I also liked...
So Noah Baumbach movie.
Yeah. I'm sad to say that I'm now at the stage where I probably hate more Noah Baumbach movies than I like, which is
you mean the right side of history?
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll figure that one out. But there were a couple of just stupid things that I liked in this movie as well. For instance, as you said, Valpina, that was a dumb thing. She was the town lady of the night.
The town yes. whore.
And she was just randomly referenced all the time.
Look, there's a part where a madman jumps out the top yes. of a tree shrieking, "I want a woman," and somebody walks by and says, "Should I get Valpina?"
that was fun. So also Gradishka is a great character and a great concept in this movie. She's like this pixie dream of a woman that everybody has in the town. And even the way that they single her out, because a lot of the time, what will end up happening is she will be in the brightest red coat dress, and yeah. hood or dress, mm-hmm. and it will just draw more attention to her. And the reverence that people put on her is just great. Also, the shenanigans that the children get up to are not... Well, all right, I shouldn't put it this way, because it's not the general shenanigans. I think those are just stupid, right? There's times when they pee on the floor and all sorts of crap happens. That I don't care for. But every once in a while, they'll do something that, you know, is worth a little giggle, and so that's fun. You know, all in all though, this movie is just pretty crappy. I wish I had more good to say about it, because it clearly is built on a base of just the visual side of it is so great that you really want to like everything else, but you can't. Not here.
Damien?
No. I have to go last.
Your fire is too hot. It can't burn in the middle.
I need to hear what is happening, so I can just wrap up
everything. This movie is garbage. It is hot, burning garbage. And I really don't know what I can say about this movie that is good. It is like it's weird. It's weird because like I watch this movie and I think to myself, does Douglas have a thing for vignette movies? Like does he just secretly have like a list that he sits down with and goes, I can't wait to scratch them all off. Right, because
it's giving Douglas an immense amount of credit.
Because I mean, forgetting the marathon we actually did. Right, he's mm-hmm. brought a lot to the podcast in general. We had that Double X movie or whatever it was called last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one that I remembered last night that now I forgot that we talked about. And this one, and I'm sure there are others that if I look through the archives, I'll find. But it just like this movie, it felt bad just to watch. Like this was one of those movies where like. I've seen Douglas go through this with movies I've picked, where he just sits there and he's like, is it over yet? Like, teacher, can I go? even, like, I mean, it has a lot of the things that people know Fellini for. I won't say that I know him for, because all I've seen of his really is 8.5. Things like the way that he has females in his films, which are these sexual creatures that are just brimming. Even they have these small scenes where they have these boys walking in the street, kind of just staring at women's backsides, which, like, there's nothing bad about it, really, but it's one of those things where when you're watching this movie and you've not latched on to anything, and then you come into a scene where it's just women sitting down in their bicycle stools heading off, and little boys going like, hmm. Like, you're like, I get you, but I really just want to go home now. This movie, to me, felt just boring, just inconsequential, and not even inconsequential in a good way, where we watch a lot of films where we're like, nothing really mattered, but we enjoyed being there, right? This movie was just a rambling, it felt like someone who does a TED talk without a point, right, where they just ramble around for like 3 hours, and at the end they're like, I said something, and you're like, I don't think you did. But yeah, I really don't even know what to say about this movie. Like, I want to talk more to kind of make us be like, oh, we had like a 20-minute review section, but like, can just move on with its life.
Douglas?
You know, one thing that I would say about this movie, and I remembered, or I thought that there was something else I wanted to talk about, but couldn't remember at the time. Something that clearly what Fellini tried to, there's a part of this movie that an aspect of this movie that Fellini clearly tried to make be this unifying thread, kind of similar to, so we can talk about vignette films and talk about Love Actually, right? So Love Actually also did something similar, which is that, except that I know that it was intentionally removed. They had Mr. Bean in it, Rowan Atkinson, who was in the beginning when they started filming, was supposed to be that thread between all of the stories, and he was supposed to connect it somehow, right? And at, I guess, the last minute, they decided, you know what? No, let's pull him out. And he was only there a couple of times. In this movie, though, they kept in this thing that I feel they tried to do just that, to be that unifying thread. And that was, and it wasn't even just one guy. It ended up being two guys that kind of just, or even three, that just tell you a story, that just show up randomly and say something. And there was this one fella, and I can't remember his name, that I felt was the more dominant of the three. He started with a B, but he was the one that would always tell these grandiose stories, and that another one of the narrators would essentially say, you know what, I don't think he tells the 100% truth. And because, for instance, one of those stories was about some sheik or something like that, who came to the town and brought 37 concubines, or however many it was, and then he climbed up the hotel like he was climbing up the hair of, and I've forgotten the fairy tale that lets the hair down. Yes, it is Rapunzel. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And apparently he had his way with all except for two of them, because, you know,
after 35, you just go have it in.
But like, so things like that, where the interesting thing is, I see what he's doing there, and that's a kind of thing conceptually that I will enjoy, right? Some stupid story designed to be fun, designed to somehow connect the dots, or maybe just be essentially palate cleanser between each vignette. I'm fine with that, and that works a lot of the time. But again, there were one or two moments where you're like, okay, sure, but overall that failed, and this movie failed, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And Douglas, you remember at some point last year you said to us, why don't you all watch Kate Blanchett's Manifesto?
Right, there was that one too.
And on that day I vowed that I'm definitely going to kill you at some point.
Did I ruin Kate Blanchett for you?
You'll die by my hands because I love Kate Blanchett. A lot.
Do I have to pause the podcast as a crime is about to happen?
And would have never watched that movie willingly. But you made me do it. You did to Kate Blanchett what the Wolfman did to Benicio Del Toro.
And it took Star Wars to bring it back.
No, he came back before.
I just wanted to mention Star Wars because, you know.
He was in a movie after the... Any movie after the
Wolfman. Yeah, literally all of them. This movie, 15 minutes in, filled me with a lot of hatred. And then I remembered who picked the movie. I was like, just reminding myself that Douglas did this. Freed me of all hatred. This movie's garbage. Let me be very clear. There's nothing about this movie that is redeeming. Especially by 2018 metrics, this movie is... In our current... in the world that we're trying to build and move on, this movie is a shining star atop... atop Rapist Mountain. Like, I don't even know. They're trying to tell a story. And at the start, you're like, this movie is about. But that is not what this movie is about. The movie starts and you're confused. And when the movie ends, you're more confused because there's nothing tying the beginning to the end. People are moving around. They have some dumb jokes, they think, but they're wrong. It is awful. And it reminds me a lot of all of the feelings I had watching Kate Blanchett just trudge through this shitty, shitty thing that Douglas forced me to watch. Except this time I was prepared. This time I could look at the movie and go, all right, Douglas. You did it again. I'm not upset because now I know. Like, I didn't have to go, what is this movie? I just had the movie. It happened to me. I didn't watch the movie. It played in front of me. And then it was awful. And I was fine. The only thing that this movie did was it did not prepare me for what happened the following day. The following day, I had some more movies to watch. And this movie was not a good way to lead into those. But like, this movie isn't The Room. It's not bad. It's not so bad that it's good. And it's not so bad that there's things you can point at and laugh at. And it's not so old that you can see the import in the movie. It is all around a waste of everyone's time. And it feels like the if this movie were from, say, the early 20s, where there was no audio, and they just had, it was a silent film, then you could go, well, it's so old, they didn't know what stories were. So, of course, the movie's bad. But this movie's
so old, they didn't know what stories were.
Yeah, it was before they invented stories. So it's just awful. But it's not that. It's just, like, this movie.
So people just didn't tell stories before the 1920s. Yeah. Like, they were just like, hello, good morning, and went to work and came back. They didn't know anything else.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Andrew, think about it this way, right? You know how we always say that, to a certain extent, every movie is a rehash of another story? Somebody had to make that first story, right? And they made it in...
So when they say a story as old as time, they're really talking about the 1920s.
They're talking about the 1930s, because that's when they invented stories. there's times you hear about movies, you know, where the film reel gets damaged and it's lost the time and there's no backups and whatever. This should be one. I nominate this movie for this movie. I don't know if that is how it works. I don't know if there's like a pile that they throw garbage movies on to never be seen again. But if there is, I'd like to nominate.
Just in the last couple of minutes, I think I've come up with a theory, Damien, as to why Douglas brings these movies to us. And it's not punishment.
He types bad movies.
It's not punishment. It's not. I'm talking about vignette movies specifically. I think I've figured it out. You remember when we started this podcast, like before time existed, right?
Right.
Douglas used to come on the podcast and talk about like 50 films he's watched in the last week because he had time. Right?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, so it's like he's cheating.
And over time, as we've gone through the podcast, we've seen that number get smaller and smaller. And you come on the podcast and we talk about a lot of TV shows. And we talk about how Douglas likes to consume them in small chunks. So TV shows work. Mm-hmm. Right? I think Douglas is going down the Sammy Jenkins route, where he actually has memory problems. And the short stories help him because he can keep track of them for like the 3 minutes that they are and then move on to the next one.
No, I think what he's trying to do is watch as many movies as he can in one movie. So he can still feel like he's watching a lot of movies.
If the movies get shorter, are there still movies, Damien?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As long as they appear in the cinema. Yes.
Damien knows me.
Yeah, this movie's bad.
What?
This movie's garbage. This movie hurt my eyes.
FT fucking M.
I mean, this isn't really a movie. Let's not besmirch the good name of terrible movies.
The only thing about this that truly upset me is that because of how much I hate this movie, I know what it's going to do is it's going to make it that much harder for me to actually decide to watch another Fellini film.
I mean, you have two samples. Isn't that enough? Like, how much more?
What
do
if
you
there's
need?
One truly great one that I like?
Then so be it. Why trudge through 6 shitty movies to get 1 super good movie? I know that's what we've done with Guillermo del Toro, but he did it in reverse.
Did he though?
Right. He put out the greatest movie anyone has ever made.
Pan's
then,
Labyrinth?
Yes, and then he made garbage after.
You know when he put out Pan's Labyrinth,
I know.
Right?
Yeah. I know it's in the middle. Shut up.
You.
I don't
you
know.
Had
time
to
works.
Slog.
Listen.
Through
I
the
went,
maze.
I went. To,
and so essentially,
I went to
his,
Trump University.
So essentially, right? His career is like a maze in a park because for the maze is no. You have to slog through the shit to get to the middle and finally win.
Mm-hmm. Only to lose.
Only
is
to have
this
to
the
go
Hunger
go
Games now. We're going to the Hunger Games. Is that what we're doing?
Let's never say that again. What? Yeah, Hunger Games.
No,
he
I just
said
did.
Oh my god. Can I be off this podcast? Please? Can we end it?
Okay then. I guess we're done with that movie.
It was young.
Is there anything anyone wants to talk about other than Amar Card? We're done with that now. Yeah. We did that already.
I want to talk about how it looks like Netflix might actually have some good
movies
coming out.
What's going on at Netflix?
I can't remember. I just remember thinking that there were some movies that I wanted to watch.
Well, they have the Duncan Jones movie coming out this month.
Right. There's Mute.
Uh-huh.
Also, but...
What's the last thing Duncan Jones...
We don't talk about that one.
Code. Source Code.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
We struck his name off that movie that we're not talking about. Like, when you actually buy the movie, you know, if you liked it and you buy it, it says directed by blank.
Ah, that's good. I was talking to a listener of the podcast, which this never happens.
We have listeners?
Yes, we do. And he was saying that he watched a new Blade Runner and now thinks he likes the old one.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I just want to say this out loud so you can hear it in audio form. No, you don't.
But the old one is great.
Yes. No. It is of import.
but it is bad.
Oh, I hate you, Damien. I'll still take the win of you saying out loud, you know, like Blade Runner, like the concept of a movie in the Blade Runner franchise, rather than...
It can't be a franchise. There's
whatever we want to call it. I'm just picking a word at this point.
I know. You, listen, you won. We already said it. You won 2017. The world lost, but you did win.
And I'll take it.
All the garbage you said was good, and bro beat us for years while we looked at you like you've lost your mind. All of them turned off roses. Some took two movies. Some took three. Some got it right on the second try. But you did it, all right? Congratulations.
Cool.
2018 now.
I guess there's one movie I do want to talk about.
And you're wrong.
I finally got around to watching Crash Pad.
Yo, no, we're not talking about this, Andrew.
What's happening?
I saw your rating and you're wrong.
No, I heard something about a good movie that we talked about last year. Crash
yes,
Pad.
Yes.
I like that movie.
That movie's great.
It's real fun.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, people should watch that.
Yeah.
Not
Donald
Andrew.
Gleason is just amazing.
He's
and
a joy
we will
to
now move on.
Yeah. That movie.
He's better in that than he is in Star Wars.
No.
Are you saying
no,
he's
no,
not
no.
good?
So I started watching that movie recently because it's on Hulu.
Uh-huh.
And Damien, the joke about his hips are
it's tremendous.
So, it's so good.
You're like 10 seconds in here like, I love this movie already.
I
that
can't wait
not
to finish
good.
It so I can
actually,
watch him dance.
The movie's
and...
not good. Huh. What it is a average piece of averageness.
Yeah,
no, we
that's,
said that.
Uh huh. That's what
you
come
are
on.
Completely correct in your assessment of this movie.
That movie is
you
the
just have
equivalent,
to learn to love
that
the
movie
average.
Is the equivalent of like, elevator music.
Watch
it's music you don't
like,
hear,
oh,
but you God. Know it's there.
No. That movie is Burger King during lunchtime. We're just like, I wouldn't eat this. If I really wanted proper food, I'm hungry now. And it's open. So fuck it. You'll regret it. Yeah, I like Burger King. Until you're given the option of real food and you're like, I'd never eat Burger King again. But you don't have those options.
Exactly.
Right? You see Crash Pad and you're like, not about one I have to kill. I like this stupid movie. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. So I remember when I turned it on Hulu, I didn't think I have a lot of, I don't think I had a lot of time at the time mm-hmm. to watch it. When I finally pried myself away from mm-hmm. the movie, I'd gone halfway through.
Yeah. Andrew, were you like Let's Be Cops, right?
Let's Be Cops. I've forgotten what this movie
Let's
is now.
Be Cops.
That's Nick Miller.
Oh yes, I did enjoy
Coach.
That movie at the time.
Yeah, right. And that movie started real bad, but then picked up and you're just like, I like this dumb bad movie. That is Crash Pad.
Like, I agree with you, but I also feel I think we can all agree to this that in this classification of movies that there are a lot.
Yes.
It's kind of a mm-hmm. hit and miss scenario for everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I'm not calling Crash Pad a complete fire of awfulness. Because we know what that is.
Right.
It's
not
Amacord. We've seen many of those every 3 weeks. This movie is just average. And it's okay being average. It just wasn't my hit.
Yeah. You seem to have missed a lot of hits last year when it came to comedy.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And by a lot, we mean a lot of hits in one movie.
Uh-huh.
One specific
one
movie.
One very specific movie.
But she did say Baguette.
Truly.
I have watched that one yet.
What's that?
He's making a joke about Ebbing and billboards.
Oh! Why haven't you... Douglas, you should really...
I will when I can watch it in HD. Damien, you realize
stop
I am you, right?
Yeah, stop talking.
All right, I think there's one more thing I want to ask
By
you
way,
guys about. I don't know
okay,
if you guys have watched it, or I know Damien probably has ignored it, but the same Dundee trailer that's been going around people have announced that it's actually a fake movie. It's not real. It's actually an advertising campaign for tourism to Australia.
You saw a longer version of the trailer came out the other day?
And they now have Hugh Jackman in it playing the Prime Minister of Australia.
I love how it took you a long time to figure out, to remember, it's, what country is it again? It's the one that we just talked about, that we said it was about.
I think it's the Prime Minister party you're having problems with.
Is it Prime Minister? Is it King? Is it President? Is it Supreme Overlord? I can't remember. Let me roll the dice here.
Well, how it works, right, is that you have the ministers, the MPs,
right.
You have the Prime Minister, you have Crocodile Dundee,
right.
And then you have the crocodile. The crocodile runs the state.
Right.
King Crocodile.
With a koala bear on
and
his shoulder.
And they have... who was the other guy in the trailer? Russell Crowe was in there playing, who I'm guessing is a...
So is Baby Thor. Baby
but Big Thor is in it, so we don't even see Baby Thor. We just look at him and we're like, oh, who's
fair
that?
Enough. And thing there is
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie. And then, do you know who that singer is?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, some singer who I'm sure must be famous, at least in Australia, but I didn't know who
that was. But I don't know how you guys felt about it when we saw the first thing and we were like, we don't know what this is, but who made this and we didn't know. Are they really bringing back Dundee? This seems like the kind of thing they would do. But now that it's a joke, I'm kind of on board with this dumb joke of us just playing with this. As long as it never becomes a real movie.
So,
and that's a quality joke.
Yeah. So I'm actually kind of the opposite. So when the first trailer came out, I said to myself, this movie might be bad, but you know what? Crocodile Dundee. Gonna try and love it. Now that I know it's a joke, and not only do I know it's a joke, but the longer trailer came out, and to be quite frank, the production quality has now gone to shit. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's,
Damien,
it's obviously they called up Russell Crowe and they're like, just sit in a chair in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
We don't have to be there.
Yeah.
And say this and we'll fix the rest.
use your Samsung.
Right.
Or maybe, do you have a GoPro? No? All right, fine. Use your Samsung. And it was the same thing for Hugh Jackman.
Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister.
You just... the Vice Crocodile.
Right.
And so you see that you're like, that doesn't look very pretty. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's a dumb joke and I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Do we know any other Australians who we want to throw into this joke? The one thing that made me laugh was when they said the cricketer,
Zoe
the greatest cricketer.
You know. Oh yes, there was a cricketer in that trailer. I wasn't sure who it was though.
Brian Lara?
Yeah.
You're supposed to keep saying cricketers that aren't from Australia, Douglas. You're supposed to yes and. Damn it,
Douglas is bad at this.
You're so bad at this. Oh my god. But it's sad that I only know. So when people talk about cricket now, and they're like Australia, I'm like, oh, like Shane Waugh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you stop watching it when
like,
you got out at the right time. You're like, cricket is bad. No, I'm never watching it again.
More like, no, cricket is still good. West Indies cricket is bad now.
That's all I am. What? I'm sorry, there's cricket outside.
So you're saying you're like a Cleveland Browns fan. You don't know what football is anymore, NFL is anymore.
Exactly.
You don't have a team to watch.
What's that NFL?
You remember when the Cleveland Browns came back, Andrew? And Drew Carey came out and he's like, Cleveland, let's go, yes! And then they sucked that year. Which was acceptable because they were an expansion team.
Mm-hmm. They were an original team that moved and then became an expansion team back again.
Exactly. That's how bad that was, right? They couldn't even move back. They were like, well, the only way we can do this is to have a shitty expansion team. funny. But yeah, so, by the way, and I don't know if we want to keep this in the podcast or not, and I'm not even sure if we're finished with the podcast yet.
We're done.
But I've been watching a TV show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
called,
I think you guys should watch it. It is, no.
The End of the Effing World.
Don't,
I watched the first episode of that, and I haven't continued
four
yet.
Four times. I've gone.
So good. I haven't watched it a second time yet, but I'm
sure
it will happen.
How short the episodes are.
Yeah, well,
that first episode,
no, it's the first
short
episode.
The
everything else is,
longer.
Yeah. So, we're watching this, and don't. So, I'm going to tell you what station it's on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge it.
I already judged it.
This is a Starz show, Starz original. All
right.
But it stars. I gotcha.
I hate both
it was your
you.
Production after the fact. It wasn't your delivery.
I know. That was the point of the joke. The joke wasn't Starz. The joke was the giggle at the end.
Oh my god.
So it stars J.K. Simmons.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I've heard about
yeah,
the show.
Yeah.
And it also stars J.K. Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
They are not twins, but it's a sci-fi twins. Thing. And it's actually kind of cool. There's this thing with like...
What's it called?
Counterpart.
Ah.
Because mm-hmm. they are counterparts.
All right, and you count in
yeah.
separate
places. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's pretty cool. It's two episodes I've gone so far. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a Sunday show. So... Mm-hmm. There's another one coming up soon.
Okay, so J.K. Rowling, is it?
Yes, J.K. Rowling. Cool. She tends to go off book a lot. So you can tell that she keeps thinking about her. So she'll say a line and then you'll hear her whisper in her breath something like Expecto Patronum. And, you know, it's clear that people just want her in the show, so they let it slide. But it really makes no sense.
Is her dog in there? J.K.
Rowling?
I did it. I beat Douglas. That's what you get. That was a long road. I just made it finish.
All right, you got me. You got me there. Uh-huh. That one's good.
I got you.
Has somebody done that? Oh my god.
I got you.
Somebody needs to name the dog. I'm so serious.
All right.
It's like, so I made a decision. And again, it's from Dumb Jokes, right? On a podcast that I listen to, Men in Blazers, that if I ever have a dog, which I mm-hmm. doubt I will, because mm-hmm. dogs
the
are...
first one is Tupac. Devil. We decided that...
No. My dog is going to be called Didier Dogba, right?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. 6 people will get that...
That's going to be
Didier Dogba.
And there's no Didier Dogba. Yes.
I mean, the first one will be... If I have a second dog, maybe. But your dog will be named Didier Dogba. I guess I could call mine Didier Pogba. Didier Pogba.
Pogba, exactly.
We did it.
Dogba and Pogba. Pogba. All right, we have to now get dogs.
Yeah.
You know this, right?
Yeah, this is bad.
All right.
All right. So the last thing I want to mention, since we're talking about random TV shows we're watching, I don't know if any of you guys have tried to watch this yet, but I'm in the middle of watching this show, on Netflix, an anime, Devil Cry Man.
People have been talking about it, but I haven't watched it. Is it good?
The first episode. It's fantastic. Like, it's this anime fantasy story about, like, demons taking over people. And, mm-hmm. like, it is, like, the hardest R-rating anime you'll watch. And the animation is weird and awesome. But as I'm going through it now and I've hit, like, episode 5, like, I think I've kind of hit that point where I'm like, I don't really feel like it's progressing very far. Like, it's getting into, like, the RPG loop of just fight. And I'm just kind of like, I'm not really feeling it as hard. And I'm kind of disappointed in that way. Because, yeah.
I hear you. Speaking of shows like that, Divorced. Have you continued watching that show, by the way?
I got all the episodes. I have not watched them because End of the Effing World is ruining
my
life.
So the first season, I love it because I'm about three or four episodes in now to the second season, and it's not good anymore. And I was thinking about why, and I realized that first season was about them actually getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of shenanigans can happen there. Mm-hmm. No, they're just like,
divorced.
I'm living my life.
Yeah.
And they forgot what was good,
right?
So
being bitter and awful to one another.
I am hoping that it will get better again, but you know, we'll see.
If not, you can just watch Catastrophe again.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say End of the Effing World.
So like, no joke, whenever I am bored, even for like 2 minutes, it is as if the it is as if my hands automatically let's go. You know what I can do? Like, how I don't have anything to do for these 15 minutes or so, I can just watch this. And that's what I do. I watch it on the bus.
Makes sense.
I watch it before work. I watch it going home.
Yeah. You know what that has become for me is comedians in cars.
It's a sickness.
I'm just burning through comedians in cars. And I'm sure.
I need to watch more. Enough people have said that they like it.
You might even like it because it's comedians, right? And they're just chatting and fucking around.
But they're not making, like,
I know they're not making. They do make
a
jokes,
lot,
though,
yeah. But a lot of the jokes that they're making, like, are bits that I've heard in their
stuff. But it's not even just that. So I'm sure there is a bit of that. But at the end of the day, it just becomes a conversation, and so it's somebody just making a joke in conversation, right? And so it's, you know, not as good clearly as stand up, but that. Yeah, it's fun.
I want to hear the work in progress. I want to see.
You don't want the work print without the visual effects. You want the
right. I want Chappelle to do what Chappelle does when he's like, "Oh, I'm so good. I tell jokes. I come up with punchlines before I write jokes." That, like, that is the type of stuff that I want. I want Hitler. I want another Hitler source, not people. I listen to a podcast. I've listened to enough podcasts with comedians talking to one another that now I've stopped listening to those podcasts.
I hear you.
And I'm not just talking about Maron, because he was trying to get.
But he's different. Somewhere. He doesn't do that, right? He actively says, "You know what? I'm not a comedian."
Right, but
today.
Because
I'm
comedians are comedians, they still find jokes to tell. I'm talking about esoteric podcasts like Fucking with the Champs. Like things that no one else has ever listened to. Right? With Neil Brennan and Moshe Kasher. Like no one was listening to that. And like, except hardcore comedy nerds. And then at some point I went, I don't want to hear, like, the Todd Glass Show, all of them. I've just gone, I don't need to listen to this shit anymore, because this isn't what I want. I want the specials. And Netflix has given me more than I can handle, and a lot of them are bad, but that's fine.
No, you have to have that, and that's great. By the way, speaking of non-developed versus developed, one thing I will say to you, and I know it's like, oh, you can go through all of the episodes just to get to this one. Mm-hmm. But Andrew, have you watched all the... I love how I always, whenever I talk to Andrew, I point at the computer.
Yeah, because
I am the computer now.
On the computer screen. Have you watched all of those episodes?
Of Comedians in Cars?
I know you were watching from... Yeah,
yeah, I've seen, all of them.
Do you remember the one with Megan Sings?
Is that the one who does the YouTube character?
Lady.
Yeah, I remember that one, and I did not like...
Oh, so Andrew, that is my favorite episode so far, at least. Mm-hmm. And Damien, it will also be yours. Here is why. And maybe I needed a little bit more. Well, actually, no, I broke down. And so this episode, this show is like an interview show.
Yeah, no, I know.
So usually, no, structure of the show. Normal people, they don't necessarily have to be nice, but you're coming on this interview show to be interviewed. You probably... there because you want to talk to Jerry Seinfeld, right?
Yeah. Even every once in a while, someone will come on and pretend a little bit for fun to be like, "Why are you talking to me? Like, I'm not even whatever."
Damien, this girl,
she didn't break character.
Did not break character.
It's pretty good.
She was Megan Sings for the whole time. She was horrible to Jerry Seinfeld. No, I don't know if in real life he's actually this nice, but. Because this episode was a ways in, right? I got to learn that Jerry Seinfeld on this show is actually a really nice guy, or tries to be. Damien, at one stage, he's like, "You know what? Fuck it. Sure, you're being a huge asshole to me, so I'm just not going to care." And there are like points where he just doesn't speak. There are points where he's like, "Yeah," he actually insults her. And... so, I remember for the first, say, quarter of the show, I was just speechless. Then the next little bit, I actually started to be like, how could this happen? Why is she so upset? And then after a while, you know, it kind of gets beyond that point. It was the funniest thing. The funniest episode.
So hold on.
And
just
at the end of the episode, yeah?
Just interesting. You never see her change to the real person?
Yes.
You okay, because I remember that. I was wondering,
yeah,
if,
for half
I was wondering
second.
If they re-edited it and took out all of that half.
No, that wasn't a half. That was like 2 seconds.
I kind of remember it being half and half. I don't know why. I could be wrong.
Maybe you're wrong. I hope you are, because that's one thing, by the way, that I was worried about. Because they, as I said last time, they moved around, they shift around the order. I was wondering if there were any cuts that they made in the episode. So maybe they did, Andrew. But essentially, there was about 1 minute at the end after that crazy bit that you see her say, okay, this is, I now take off the lipstick, and she spoke for a second about how the lipstick stains her lips and whatever. But it was like very short. And this is how impressed I was with the episode. I went on a 5 to 10 minute searching marathon of how real was this episode. Did Jerry Seinfeld know what he got into? And I found out that actually, as you thought, yeah, it was staged. And apparently Jerry had to like meet with her and have coffee with her the night before and be like, listen, honey, I know I am who I am, but mm-hmm. it's okay.
Yeah.
You can be a dick to me. It's all right. I know what this is.
Yeah. Not going to tell everyone in Hollywood, never speak to this bitch.
Yeah. Fun yeah. times. That I cannot say. I can't say enough good things about that one episode.
Is it better
than the Arrow? Yes.
End of the episode. I've actually started watching Flash again too.
Oh, really?
From the beginning to remind myself what the good ones are. Not the season one again.
Like, yeah.
This show was fun once.
Deep down inside, I hope one day Stephen Amell, the star of Arrow, listens to these podcasts, or at least some, and hears us say it repeatedly better than the Arrow.
Is it better than the...
Send him a message, Andrew, on the Twitters.
Yeah. At Stephen Amell, your bar for shitty TV shows. Anything that falls below, we don't even look at.
What? And my sincere hope when he hears it is he laughs as hard as we do.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's delusional. I'm pretty sure he knows the TV show he's making. They seem, if nothing else, they seem to be having fun on those TV shows. It's like, boy, this shit is dumb.
You're like, I get a chance to exercise and not do anything that productive. Yeah. All right, cool.
All right, sure. These stories are preposterous, but let's go. Comic books, yo.
You know, it's so sad that, well, not sad. Sad isn't a word, but it's so weird that we can just ascribe a certain amount of value, or in this case not value,
yeah,
like shittiness to something, and you know how hard those people work.
Oh no.
It, like, damn,
that is the thing that I, much like how I divorce players from their real life selves, I also divorce the work that it takes to make any of this shit,
mm-hmm,
any form of entertainment. I am well aware how difficult it is to get this shit done. But if I use that, then I'd have to like everything. But I still don't like the thing you made.
Like Amarcord.
I know you worked hard.
You know how much work went into Amarcord, Damien?
Douglas, Asafa Powell has exercised more in his life than I will for the rest of mine. I still hate him. I know what it takes to be that fast. It is why I am not that fast. But I still hate him because the thing he does is bad. Yep. Sure, it's better than me and what I can do, but it isn't my job to do that.
So Damien, what you're saying is that in the world of track and field, you would ask yourself, but is it better than Asafa Powell?
Exactly. That is what I ask all the time. Are you better than Asafa Powell? And the answer for most athletes is, yes, I am, Damien. Because I've never broken a world record and come dead fucking last. Because I'm not garbage.
Oh, that guy. It's a shame what that guy
is. He is... seeing them plan to build a statue for him is the most upsetting.
They're building a statue for Sapho?
Yeah, for him so. And someone okay. else. Yeah. It is very upsetting.
To be fair, right?
What? To be fair, what?
In terms of talent, not in terms of execution, but in terms of raw talent, uh-huh. he's the clear number two Jamaican.
Douglas, the clear number one in terms of talent
yeah.
is Merlin Otte, because she ran track for 20 years.
Well, I mean, at the moment.
Douglas
I don't
Robinson.
Mean, I don't mean overall
Douglas
time.
Douglas Robinson.
Jesus.
We threw her away.
Yes, we did.
Because we are shitty people. We don't get to then decide because Asafa Powell was beside Usain Bolt as he won all of those races that he too gets a medal. He's bad. The thing he did is inconsequential because he didn't do the thing he was supposed to do.
Yeah, it's bad at it. He yeah. literally, if Usain did not exist, he would have murdered everybody.
If Usain but... didn't, no Douglas, if Usain didn't exist, our track and field legacy would be only female. Right? He'd have come fourth. The one that Usain won, mm-hmm. he'd have been fourth. Because he wouldn't have won that race. Usain isn't the reason he came fifth. He came fifth because he thought he could lose the race. All the races that he thinks he's going to lose, he
no, I know.
Goes forward
but
and
I
loses.
I think Usain is the reason for that. Because Usain is so good. No, and he runs against Usain
out
there.
But he doesn't
here,
beat Tyson Gay either.
Yeah, because Usain broke him.
No, no, he was broken
that's how,
before.
That's how I feel that is literally Usain doing. Because before if he could say to himself, you know what, I am the best Jamaican, I can do, I think he would have been. Douglas. But because Usain was just, and it wasn't even a situation, right? And this is a joke we always make, right? Everybody else, they don't even think, you know what, I can try. Right. They're just like, no, it's over.
But Douglas, he had one full season before Usain transitioned to 100 meters. Where the entire season was just people going, he'll do it this time. The last time, he wasn't ready. This time. But he never did. Never.